الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صلوات O you who believe, fasting has been made a duty and fariza over you, the way it has been made a fariza and duty over those who were before you, maybe you become muttaqi. So taqwa is the goal that we all as mu'mins are pursuing in the month of Ramadan, and we talked about the concept of taqwa a little bit and its description, its literal meaning and its istilahi and technical meanings, and we also discussed the fact that taqwa actually is the power and the force which is found inside the soul of a mu'min that stops him, that puts a freeze and a break on his and all those activities that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a mu'min with his taqwa is protecting his spirituality. And as you remember, it was derived from the Arabic word of al-waqi wal-wiqaya, which means the shield. Just like in the old days, they used to have the shield protecting their body from the arrows and attacks of the enemies. The person who has taqwa is shielding away all the dangers and harms that are confronting the human life. So the person who shields is because he cares about Allah. Isn't that right? That's why taqwa, by our scholars, they translate taqwa as caring about God. You know, a person remembers Allah and cares about Allah at every instance of his life. That's the essence of taqwa. If we care about Allah, then we will be able to abstain from those things that Allah dislikes. In a human being, in his actions, all the actions that we perform are based on certain inclinations or motivations. In Arabic, we call it al-amyal, al-mail al-nafsani, tamayulat, amyal, the inclinations and motivations. They are inclinations and motivations which are driving, which serve as a driving force for the human being to perform various actions in his life. For every action, we have a motivation behind it. Now, the motivations behind our actions are classified by the scholars of akhlaq into two categories, temporary and permanent. Sometimes we have temporary motivations towards various actions of our life. Sometimes we have permanent motivations. The temporary motivation is found in almost everyone. Almost every human being has temporary motivations. You know, sometimes of his life he may get shaken up. Sometimes of his life he may get, you know, awake. He's awakened. Most commonly by accidents. Isn't it right? You find some people never used to pray. They are tarikus salat. They don't care about prayers or fasting. There are some people who like this. People who are wearing gold. Men wearing gold. Isn't that right? That's haram. Some people are wearing silk ties. Men wearing silk. That's haram. Isn't that right? You tell them they don't care. All of a sudden you find there's a car accident taking place and his son dies. Or his wife goes to a hospital. Or he goes to a hospital. He has a heart attack, severe heart attack. And he survives from the brink of death. Now let's pay a visit to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet has said, لَوْلَا سَلَاسَ مَا تَعْتَعَ رَأْسُ بْنُ آدَمَ. If three things were not there, the head of a human, in other words, the son of Adam, will not bend. So basically, human has such an arrogance towards Allah that he's not going to bend. He doesn't obey God. He shows arrogance. If three things were not there, human will not bend in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-faqru wal-maradu wal-maut. Poverty and illness and death. So poverty and illness and death brings down the arrogance of everybody. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his great wisdom, his unparalleled absolute wisdom. He knows, the Creator knows us best. No one can know us better than our Creator. Isn't it right? So thank Allah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us the illnesses. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us the faqr and poverty that makes us humans, that brings us back to humanity from the hellfire of arrogance. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the blessings of maut, which is liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we learn. That's how we open up our eyes. So you find people who were tarikus salat, who used to make fun of Islamic values and teachings because they were so much, you know, advanced, quote-unquote, modernized, affected, poisoned by the kufr and nifaq and zulm and their so-called influences. So they started to challenge the law of the Creator and started to say that doesn't make sense to them. Isn't it right? So these accidents, you know, the inclinations and motivations a person has which are temporary is not a big deal, our scholars say, because that's found in almost everybody, even the kuffar. So if a mu'min person is feeling good because he is temporarily inclined towards good deeds and temporarily inclined towards abstaining from the harams in his life, well, temporary inclinations are found even for a kafir when he faces accidents in his life. Isn't that right? So people are in the ocean, in the sea, and you find you have an accident taking place, your ship gets broke, you are in the middle of nowhere. Obviously, even if you are an agnostic or atheist, the heart of a person, the fitrat and instinct of a person, forces him to turn back towards its root
and look towards some supernatural power to help us, help him out in that emergency situation. Isn't that right? That same supernatural power with the instinct and fitrat leads us to turn to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in emergency situations, in temporary scenarios, even the kafir people turn towards Allah. That's not a big deal. When Allah saves them and brings them back to the shore, فَإِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ, they again start their shirk. Isn't that right? So that, in other words, so that's the way the human arrogance is. So and an alim comes and delivers a speech about how great it is in Islam to be generous and spend money for the sake of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and some person who was a miser, a bakhil, he ends up paying some amount of money because he's temporarily motivated towards sakha and jood and karam. So temporary motivations, our scholars say, happen in the life of almost everybody. Isn't that right? For some people, maybe that was the only motivation they had in their life to become sakhi and kareem. And but Islam is asking us to have a permanent motivation, you know, which we call al-mail rasikh. That means, which we call it in Islamic and the knowledge of Islamic akhlaq, we call it al-malakatun nafsani, the inner charisma of the soul, which is permanent, deep rooted in the soul. Anything that you, if you do a good deed, or if you abstain from a haram temporarily, just because a temporary motivation takes place for you, this is not part of your soul. You get a noor in your soul, but that noor is temporary. Why? Because a person who doesn't have a permanent motivation towards taqwa can always end up losing the noor that he gained from the good deed. End up losing the noor that he gained from abstaining from the haram. Because he may do another haram, because he may temporarily get motivated towards something else. And he will lose the noor that he gained from one good deed, one hasana, and that hasana gets replaced by a sayya, a bad deed, and a zulmat and darkness engulfs the soul after moments. The net gain is zero. Not just zero, for some people actually it goes into the minus, the graph goes downwards. It's a downslide in their spiritual, it's a decline in their spirituality. So it is important that temporary noors are not something that we can rely upon, because we are heading towards graves, where we are going to stay in barzakh for longer durations than the life in this dunya. And after barzakh is the, you know, what we call your day of judgment and alam al-jabarut. And once we depart this dunya, then that's final. There's no turning back. So when we are heading towards that kind of abode where there's no turning back, then temporary noors are simply not a solution to rely upon and to feel satisfied and comfortable for our success. So that's what Islam says, that go after having permanent tamayulat, permanent malakatun rasikha, deep-rooted inner charisma of your soul. When it becomes a deep-rooted attribute of your soul, it can also be removed, but it's not as easy to be removed. It becomes very hard to remove the deep-rooted attributes. Like Hatim al-Ta'i was very generous, despite the fact he was a kafir, but he has the attribute of saha and jood in him, isn't that right? Generosity. He never used to reject or turn away any single person who comes and asks something from him or some help from him. Allah likes that. So we find that deep-rooted attributes are what a mu'min should look for. Now, a person who is walking in the path of purification of the soul, which in the scholar, in the knowledge of ilm al-akhlaq, we call it as-sair wa-suluk ila Allah, That means traveling towards God. In this travel, the traveler who is called Salik has dangers and risks ahead of him. So it is incumbent and compulsory that he abides by certain zawabit and rules derived from intellect and narrated evidences, intellectual and narrated evidences. Because we are facing an enemy who has sworn, a sworn enemy, who has sworn Surah Sad in Quran. Verse 82 says, talking about Quran, talking about Shaitan. Shaitan said to Allah, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ I swear upon your dignity. لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ I will mislead them, all of them. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ Except those of your servants who are مُخْلَص, not مُخْلِص, مُخْلَص. And we define the difference when we are talking about ikhlas in our Thursday lectures, for those of you who were present. So we have a sworn enemy in front of us who has his own children, shayateen al-insi wal-jinn, his followers among the jinns and his followers among the humans, and they are all there to mislead the human under the misguidance of Iblis, the master shaitan. And Quran has also announced in Surah A'raf, verse 16 and 17, Qala, Shaitan said, Iblis said to Allah. Shaitan is a generic name. You know, it can be applied on anybody who follows the footsteps of Iblis. Iblis is the specific name of that guy. So Qala, it means Iblis said, said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Because you misled me. Shaitan is slandering upon Allah, saying tuhmat against Allah. Allah never misleads anybody. Isn't that right? Look at the tuhmat of Shaitan against Allah. Shaitan said, Surah A'raf, Shaitan said to Allah, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي For because you misled me, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ I will certainly sit on your straight path for them. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ And see, Shaitan is announcing his policy. He is going to attack, he is going to deceive, he is going to do his efforts against the humankind from their fronts, from their backs, from their right-hand side, and from their left-hand side. So we have danger, a salik person who is treading the path towards Allah, path of purification of the soul towards Allah, has an enemy who is sworn, sitting on the straight path. He's not found in the gambling casinos, which is not on Sirat al-Mustaqim. He's found on the straight path. So he's very likely to be found in the Islamic masjids and centers and Husayniyas and Islamic organizations. Isn't that right? So he is sitting on the straight path and misleading from the front and the back and the right and the left hand sides. So all the four sides. But this guy was ahmak and stupid enough to forget that we have six sides instead of four. Isn't it right? The shaitan did not mention the top and the bottom. Isn't it right? So, لَوْ أَنَّهُمْ أَقَامُوا التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ Isn't it right? So, we learn in the light of the verse of Holy Quran, لَأَكَلُوا مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a clear wording that if the people of the book had practiced, we learn in the light of this verse, if the people of the wood had practiced their Sharia, they would have been eating from their top and their bottom. Min fawqihim wa min tahti arjulihim. This has been interpreted, you know, ilmul arjul, which our urafa interpreted as tariqat. Ilmul arjul is tariqat. And Shari'at is the one who leads us towards tariqat. If we completely follow the Sharia, we will end up in the domain of tariqat. If you don't follow the Sharia completely, you know nothing of the tariqat. So that's what Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi used to say to the Sufis. And you guys have nothing to do with tariqat. You could talk about tariqat, but you have nothing to do with tariqat. Why? Because you don't follow the Sharia. Isn't it right? You, it's impossible to reach the tariqat without completely following the Sharia. So we have two more sides remaining. The help of Allah has to arrive. And it's, we need to remember that the shield that we need to employ to protect ourselves from the sworn enemy has to be from four sides. From the front and the back and the right and the left. This is how the shield of taqwa has to be applied. And how much is also learned from the Holy Quran, Surah At-Taghabun, verse 16. Allah says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. There's no limit mentioned. Allah says, have taqwa of Allah as much as you can. مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. There's no specified limits mentioned. As much as you can. So, obviously, with the addition of what my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafidhahullah, was saying in his tafsir, is ma'iyyatun qayyumiyya of Allah. Ma'iyyatun qayyumiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we require Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with us. And not just be with us all the times, but we require him to be doing his job of qayyumiyyat over us. So such a role of supervising over us that we believe and practice in a way that we realize that we simply cannot survive in our existence and our actions in everything that we do for from the beginning till the end without him and his ni'mat and his rahmat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hadid verse 4, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. He is with you wherever you are, and God and Allah knows what you do, in other words. Yeah. Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam also in his statement when he talks about, obviously he has he talks about taqwa every now and then. Isn't it right? If Allah gives us the tawfiq, we can sometimes talk about the khutbah of Hammam, which is entirely on the subject of taqwa. You know, Hammam was the companion who came to Imam Ali al-Salam and he requested him, Sif li al-muttaqeen. Describe for me the muttaqeen. And Imam Ali al-Salam tried to avoid it intentionally for some reason. And he insisted, and then Imam Ali al-Salam started to describe the attributes of muttaqeen. And when he ended up his khutbah, Hammam was so much affected by Imam Ali's great words that he collapsed and died at the spot. So this is khutbah of Hammam, which is there in Nahj al-Balagha. Sometimes, inshallah, we can talk about that in detail, so we learn all the detailed attributes of muttaqeen, inshallah. So Imam Ali al-Salam has said a lot about taqwa in his life. In one of his statements, in sermon number 183, he says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِعَيْنِهِ. Have taqwa of Allah, in other words, which I am paraphrasing in my own words, have taqwa of Allah, the one, the same Allah who you are in his watch. That means he is watching you. وَنَوَاسِيكُمْ بِيَدِهِ. And the zimam and the charge of yours is in his control, in his hand. So you are in his control. So this is what my teacher was talking, مَعِيَّةٌ قَيُّمِيَّةٌ. قَيُّمِيَّةٌ of Allah is always there. We can never avoid that. So we are in his control. وَتَقَلُّبُكُمْ فِي قَبْضَتِهِ. And your harakat and sakanat, your movements, and when you move, then you are unmoving, when you are stationary. In all situations, you are in his control. In asrartum alimahu, if you hide, he knows it. وَإِنْ أَعْلَنْتُمْ كَتَبَهُ.
And if you express it, he writes it down.
قَدْ وَكَّلَ بِذَلِكَ حَفَظَةً.
He has certainly assigned for that protectors. Those angels, you know, are called the حفظة, the protectors who are registering our actions. In other words,
كِرَامًا. They are honored angels of Allah.
لا يسقطون حقاً. They don't drop a right,
a حق.
ولا يثبتون باطلا, nor do they establish a falsehood. So they never make mistakes. They never mistakenly write a wrong thing about you, and they never mistakenly forgot or drop anything that you actually did, and they just forgot to write it. Now that's not going to happen. So they are very much particular and precise.
Ayyuhan nas, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Ayyuhan nas, ittaqullah alladhi in qultum sami'a.
Have taqwa of Allah, the one, if you say, he hears. Wa in azmartum alima. And if you don't say, you keep it in your heart, he knows it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our imaginations in the hearts, even those are the things that we never have said to anybody. We think about them in our minds, that's also known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this kind of behavior is so basically everything else people can forget. So I can hide things from the community. That's easy, to hide things from the people, isn't it right? The earth is resisting my amal and actions. Earth is an assigned agent of Allah. The heaven is assigned agent. The things around us, the plantations, the plants, the animals, the birds, fishes, pets, all are registered assigned agents from Allah's behalf, registering our deeds. But all of them can forget if Allah makes them forget. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is not going to forget. So this is the point. See, Imam Ali alayhi salam is making he's hitting on the target. He's saying that all the people have taqwa of Allah. That Allah who, if you say he hears, and if you don't, if you hide it in your zameer inside you, he knows it. All the prophets of God had this common advice of taqwa, because taqwa is the only key to success. So we find this in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 50. It has been said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. This sentence has been narrated that Prophet Isa, Prophet Nuh, Prophet Hud, Prophet Saleh, Prophet Lut, and Prophet Shu'ayb, all of them repeated the same sentence, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. One sentence repeated by all those prophets. So they said that have taqwa of Allah and obey me. Likewise, when they found that the people are not obeying them, not following the path of Allah and taqwa, they expressed their ta'ajjub and surprise. And prophets had said, أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. So out of surprise, they are saying to the people that why don't you follow the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this sentence of أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ, which is narrated in Surah A'raf verse 65, has been narrated, it has been said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And also it was said by Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Also it was said by Prophet Hud alayhi salam, also by Prophet Saleh and Prophet Lut and Shu'ayb and Ilyas. So
all of them have been saying this same sentence, أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ, expressing their ta'ajjub over the people, why don't you follow taqwa? So taqwa is such a common advice and common teaching of all the prophets of God. And we find that Luqman alayhi salam, well, Luqman was not a prophet. Our scholars of Usuluddin, Ilm al-Kalam, they have said Luqman was actually a slave of a person. Slave of a person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hikmat and wisdom. So he used to talk wisdom. He was not a prophet. And his wasaya, his advices towards his son, are a great lesson for every human being to be reminded. So in his wasiyat and advice towards his son, Luqman has likened this dunya as a deep ocean, and a human being, for the sake of his success, doesn't have any option other than getting aboard the ship of taqwa in that deep ocean. So he says, Ya Bunayya, inna dunya bahrun amiq. He said to his son that dunya is a deep ocean, a deep sea. قَدْ غَرِقَ فِيهِ عَالَمٌ كَثِيرٌ. You know, a huge world has drowned in that sea. Yeah, so many who became victim of the love of this dunya, attachments of the temporary attachment of this material world. Isn't it right? For the sake of material interest, they have been selling their faith and their values and compromising in front of the tahuts. فَلْتَكُنْ سَفِينَتُكَ فِيهَا تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. So your boat, your ship in this dunya has to be the taqwa of Allah. That's the ship which can provide us the success. And the ma'asiyat, and I'm coming to the end because time is almost close to the end, the ma'asiyat and sin in ilmul akhlaq is considered to be nothing but a poison for the spirituality. And this is also rooted from the hadith, because we have hadith from Usul al-Kafi, volume 5, where Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam has said, that an-nadharu sahmun min sihami iblis masmumun. Another, looking towards non-mahram, which in the light of this hadith we learn that looking towards a non-mahram person with lust, which is haram, is a arrow among the arrows of, among the poisoned arrows of Iblis. So our scholars of akhlaq say it's not just about the, it's not just about looking at non-mahram with lust, which is, serves as an arrow, poisoned arrow, killing our spirituality, but it's actually in ilm al-akhlaq, the scholars have said that all the sins have the same status. Every sin serves as a poison for our spirituality, which I was pointing a few minutes ago, that if a person has a temporary motivation towards taqwa and he gains them temporarily, performs a good deed, he gives away upon the speech of an alim, he gets motivated, he pays some money for the cause of Allah, he gets some temporary nood in his soul, that's nothing to rely upon, because that nood can easily be replaced by another darkness and zulmat followed by the nur, because he can temporarily be motivated towards something else. He doesn't have a permanent attribute in his soul. It's just temporary motivation. So that's not something that we can rely upon. So abstaining from the ma'asiyat, from the sin, whether it's a temporary, temporarily we fall into a sin, or some, those of the people who permanently do certain things, certain sins. Some of the people are habitual sinners. So they have taken few of those haram things in their life, like 7 sins or 9 sins or whatever, 12 sins, and they always do those 12 things every day of their life. Isn't it right? God forbid from that situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from a situation where we can end up having a habit of the sin. This is a very dangerous scenario in the knowledge of Islamic spirituality. So if a woman does a sin, God forbid, he does the tawbah. He doesn't allow it to become his muta'awwid and mu'tad, and like in Farsi we say mu'tad, you know, or habituated with that haram. And getting habituated is something which is very dangerous, because it kills your spirituality totally and takes a person towards the point of no return and makes the whole soul black. If an arif, this mushtahid, is present here, he can see the soul of the person totally dark, completely dark and drowned in darkness, and no nur found in the soul. If a person has an habitual haram, illness of the soul found without any tawbah coming in the middle. So obviously the Sharia is asking us to make taqwa as our malakatun nafsaniya, a permanent attribute, so that we always end up avoiding from the sins. And this halat has to be maintained till the time of death, in order for a person to take the taqwa with him, the nur of taqwa with him into the grave. We need to be successful enough to take that nur till the final moments of our life. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma aj'al awaqiba umurina khaira. Oh my Lord, make the end results of our life khair, goodness. That's the where a human being is actually stamped to be successful, when his end life, end moments are on sealed on success. So aqibatul amr is the criteria to judge the person, not in which family he was born, but how at the time of death he goes away from this dunya is the way we judge the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to follow the path of taqwa completely and perfectly, and to make ourselves have the nur of taqwa as our permanent attribute in the soul. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان، واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه تجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's read the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam.